This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 103.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you can.
Hello, and welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese picture Goodfellas, one slow, smoking Zoom minute at a time. I'm Ron Richards, and with me is Josh Flanagan.
Zoom minute.
And Connor Kilpatrick.
How you doing?
And joining us this week, in the middle of the week, here we are with our special guests, Mr. Vice President and Executive Editor at Marvel Entertainment, Mr. Ryan Panagos. How you doing, Ryan?
Good, fellas. How are you?
You like the good fellas.
Oh, yeah. I said it again. How about that?
All right. Well, this minute starts with Maury serenading Henry, and it ends with Henry and Jimmy walking in the cold. Maury finally breaks the silence between him and Henry after Henry tells him to stop busting balls in a way that I never thought I'd expect by changing the lyrics of Danny Boy to Henry Boy. Oh, Henry Boy, the pipes, they're calling.
The fun fact is that Danny Boy was written in 1910 by Frederick Weatherly, who, hold on to your butts, Josh, was English.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how I know that, but I did know.
Seems wrong, but there you
go. It does. Just, they're just selling stuff to the Irish as if they haven't taken enough from them.
So this is a great long Zoom.
Before we get to the long Zoom, what's funny is that Maury breaks the silence with the national anthem of Ireland, and
I just have to lodge a protest there,
which I think is funny because I don't think that's funny. I mean Ireland is funny regardless, but I never noticed Henry's sense of relief and when he collapses his head into Maury's chest. Like, I never noticed that for some reason. Like Henry's like, oh, thank God, he's gonna stop busting balls.
I read it as a mix of relief and actual like affection. Like, he feels good because this guy he's known for now many years. It's all right. This is fine. This is good. We're calm. Like, this guy, he may bust everybody's balls, but you know, he's still part of our little
crew. He's one of us.
Yeah, he's one of us. Good
fella.
He's a good dude.
He's a good fella.
He's a decent person.
So if you're Henry, do you even believe he's going to stop, even though he's singing to you?
No, but he stopped for this moment. You know, like he's quieted, he's whispered this storm, you know?
I don't know. At this point, I would not be calm if I was Henry, even walking out back into the bar. Maybe it is time to whack him. That's what I would think.
I think Henry knows.
No, I don't think Henry knows yet.
But I think he knows, like this can't continue.
Right.
Irish national anthem is the soldier's song.
Oh.
Or it's actually in Gaelic, and I'm not going to try to read that. Carrying on.
You get a really good shot of Vince Gallo playing cards, by the way.
So that was what I was going to say. Last episode, I think it was, you pointed that out. And I didn't notice them last episode. I really noticed them this episode. And I I don't know. Maybe it was just the way I couldn't tell what they were doing. I literally thought they were cutting something, like whittling, like wood.
Hey, Vinny, you want to go down?
They cutting in the bar. This doesn't make sense.
I like
go down to Robert's, make some paper dolls.
I like the idea that they have like extracurricular activities at Robert's Lounge. It's like, yeah, when we're not stealing, we're murdering, we do woodworking.
They were good fellas. They like to do crafts.
You know, maybe it was just a different tool to kill someone with. That they were just, you know,
making shivs in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody wants to take a shiv, of course. That's just being organized.
No, but they are in fact playing cards, which apparently is all anybody ever does at this place, is that they playing cards or gambling or whatever, which makes sense because
yeah,
what they do. Yeah.
What game are they playing?
Pinochle.
Hmm.
No, I don't know. They're playing poker, right?
What did your altos play?
Gin?
Gin? I don't really see them playing gin. Spades?
It's like an old
hearts?
Lady game.
They play hearts?
What'd your dad play, Ron?
I don't know what my dad played.
Can we talk about the wonderful slow zoom and the fact that Robert De Niro has to keep busy during it?
Is this the greatest shot of the movie?
It's up there. This week is Jimmy's week.
Yep.
In terms of just, well, I know that, Ron, you have a great affection for film characters who angrily smoke.
Yes.
And I know that in The Sopranos, Johnny Sack was one of your favorite angry smokers. But I've got to say that this shot here, this is purposeful angry smoking. Thoughtful, purposeful angry smoking. And I don't know that it's ever been bested in cinema.
Scheming.
Yeah.
You can see the wheels turning in his head.
Well, he's terrifying. He's absolutely, scary as hell right there.
Is he talking to Carbone? Is that Carbone? No, that's Carbone's behind him. Who's he talking to?
He's talking to Tommy. Right. Yeah. Well, no, what's great is that, like, after the Maury situation is settled, you get the shot of Henry hanging up his coat, and then they cut to the shot of Jimmy at the bar, which is almost like the prequel of the shot, because it's a quick shot of him at the bar. And then it cuts back to a shot of Maury just kind of singing to himself, being Maury, you know, at the bar. And then it starts the shot. And it's Jimmy's talking to Henry, and he's watching what's going on at the bar, and he takes a drag out of that cigarette. And I mean, I don't like smoking. I don't like the long-term effects of it, whatever. But my God, have you ever seen anyone cooler smoking a cigarette than this shot?
Probably.
This is like some Cape Fear shit.
Well, here's the thing about this shot, and I think the thing that's interesting about it is that he could very easily hit a mustache twirling kind of effect here, but it's not. It's cold as hell. Yeah. Like he's thinking about it. He's not. If you don't know what's going to happen, you're not thinking, "Oh, I'm going to kill that guy." But that's what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's getting okay. That's happened.
And clearly, Tommy's telling him some story because you see the head moving in the foreground, and he sort of half reacts, half smiles, whatever Tommy's saying, just so Tommy knows he's listening, but he's not listening.
Yeah,
it's a great performance.
When he takes the first drag and the eyebrows go up and it's a weird kind of smile, like that's the part that spooked me out, because I think he's reacting to the story, but he's watching Maury, and then he just takes the second drag. By the way,
The second one is better.
The second one is, but the shot goes on for 23 seconds of this zoom. And so then the question is that, is this zoom as powerful without the song?
Well, you can put other songs in there.
Yeah, you could, but I think the song is important.
Well, the song is important. We're going to talk about the song "Sunshine of Your Love" by Cream. I mean, this is the guitar rock song of the era. This is probably one of the first great guitar rock songs. I think what happens here, though, is that we talked about the doo-wop music signaling the good times. So when it switches to that rock, really aggressive rock, sort of proto-metal almost, it's just like, oh, that's not good. It's a huge signal. That things have turned. So let's talk about the song. 1967, it was a single. It was later included on Disraeli Gears. It was by Cream. Cream is the super group, sort of the first rock super group with Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, and Jack Bruce. It's super unique. It's the song that like everybody learns how to play guitar on. It was, you know, Freaks and Geeks, that was the band. That was the song their little band kept playing over and over again. I remember when I was learning how to play guitar, like that was the riff you learned. But not just because of that, it was good. Also, you've got Ginger Baker playing this really interesting beat that's only on the toms. He's not using the snare at all, which is really unusual. It's just a wonderful song. Jack Bruce wrote the riff after seeing Jimi Hendrix for the first time. So it was almost like a tribute to Hendrix. He'd seen Hendrix and blew his mind. And then he went home right away and wrote that riff, and then they wrote the lyrics for it afterwards. It never made it to number one. It wasn't like a huge single, but it is number 65 on the Rolling Stones' top 500 rock songs of all time, and honestly, that feels a little low. Finally, the last thing I would say to point out is that in the solo, You have Eric Clapton playing, and we're going to hear the solo as we go through the next couple of minutes. We got Eric Clapton playing on his 1964 SG, and it was in the setting for Woman Tone. That's what it was called, the Woman Tone. And he plays, the line is actually the same as Blue Moon.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is, yeah, that's good. That's real guitar nerd shit.
You went deep on guitar shit, man. Wow.
I knew that. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, but the thing is, like, that is such a signal of the different eras in this movie. The music tells you immediately what we're talking about. If you hear rock, if you hear the Rolling Stones, if you hear Cream, this is Cocaine Problems. If you hear, you know, the Shangri-Las, everything's going pretty well. It's fine. There's nothing wrong. You know, but when you hear that distorted guitar, that's a problem.
Here's a follow-up question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is, in fact, Eric Clapton God?
Depending on who you talk to.
She's asking you.
He was here.
I remember seeing some graffiti that said
Clapton. Yeah, no, that's... Yeah. Yeah. Clapton is God. Apparently, that caused some problems in some of these groups.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, he might not be, but I think Ginger Baker might be. And he's an angry, vengeful God.
I used to get Ginger Baker and... who's the comedian in the 60s?
I have no idea what you're talking about now.
Who's that comedian?
Whatever it is, it's going to make me angry.
Who's that comedian that was Lenny Bruce? I used to get Ginger Baker and Lenny Bruce mixed up. Don't ask me why. Like, in middle school, I would always get the two of those mixed up. I don't know why.
It makes sense.
It doesn't make sense.
That's like saying I used to get Donald Rumsfeld and Jane Judy Dench mixed up. I don't know why. I just felt like they were the same.
Was there a Bruce? Was there a Jack Bruce?
Jack Bruce.
That's why. Yeah, that's why.
Well, yeah, but that's not Ginger Baker. That's a different person.
I know, but for some reason, I thought Ginger Baker was the... I don't know.
Now we got three people in the mix.
I was a confused 12-year-old. I didn't understand.
If there's a documentary on Ginger Baker, it's one of the best music documentaries I've ever seen. He is an amazing musician and a horrible human. Just a horrible human.
Ryan, did you ever listen to Cream?
No.
No?
Really?
Can't say I ever really did. No, this was coming on last time I watched it. I stopped and I was like, I know this song. And I looked over to my wife and I was like, is this the Sunshine of Your Love song? Because the lyrics had started. She's like,
your wife's
yeah.
Doctor of music.
Yeah, yeah. My wife, a doctor of music, ethnomusicology, she just looks at me and she goes, yes. and so, yeah, I'm familiar with it. I just learned a lot about it. Thank you, mm-hmm. fellas. So, yeah, I've never listened to this group. I have no real effect.
Josh's eye is twitching.
it's okay. It's always good to be able to discover something else. But it was the first rock supergroup in the fact that like, Clapton was a gigantic, famous guitar player. Baker and Bruce, who hated each other, had been in bands before that, really big bands. And, you know, Baker was considered to be sort of the best drummer around at the time. And they all got together and like, would play stadiums and stuff. And that hadn't happened before that. And like it sounds like that, but this was actually the prototype for it. It wasn't the cliche yet.
Were any of them in the Yardbirds?
Yes.
Yeah, see? I know my shit.
Eric Clapton definitely was. I think at one time both of the other two were in the band briefly. There was one of those bands like they switch people out a lot. Maybe not.
Was Lenny Bruce in the Yardbirds?
He was definitely not in the Yardbirds.
Okay, what did Lenny Bruce play?
He played strip clubs.
Okay. What about Buster Keaton?
Can I add something?
Please do.
That has nothing to do with Goodfellas, but just to drive Josh a little bit crazier. I only really enjoyed the Beatles for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Five, six, well, now 2009 was the first time I actually paid attention to them and listened to their records all the way through. They're pretty good.
I think they're on to something.
You know, I think they just started selling their music on the iTunes and such. So
now that they're streaming, I can listen finally.
So Ryan, I mean, we're gonna talk a little more about you tomorrow, but for those of our listeners at home, you also grew up on the Long Island, right?
I did.
Did you avoid the Long Island classic rock phase?
Yeah, I guess I must have because I had friends who definitely like would have probably played these kinds of songs. I can distinctly remember friends who were like learning, like you were saying, Justin, learning guitar and playing this kind of music. I think it was a little bit more Hendrix that I remember than this,
they all lead into each other though, because when you're learning how to play like rock guitar, you kind of go, whoa, Hendrix and Clapton and, you know, AC/DC or whatever.
Yeah, and in my short stint of like trying to learn guitar, it was just Nirvana. Was really like the only thing that I was playing around with.
That's much easier.
Sure, but I didn't stick with it for more than a short amount of time. But yeah, it just didn't click with me.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I thought maybe because you grew up in Nassau, I grew up in Suffolk. I don't know. I thought it was a school district thing. Like when you got into seventh grade, you got handed Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, The Doors, and you had to listen to it for 2 years and before you realized it was all whatever, and then move on.
The Doors is awful, but.
We're a little harder edged over in Western Nassau
on the mean streets of Hempstead Turnpike, right?
Yeah, Elmont, bro. That's it ain't no joke.
Listen, and, without Cream, there's no hardcore.
Oh, true.
you show me bands that made a use of distorted power chords like that before them that made any impact.
I don't know about that.
The Kinks, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, it was a whole other conversation. But yeah, this shot is amazing, and I think I was familiar with Cream. I did listen to them. I knew it was Sunshine of Your Love, Ryan, and and I just can't imagine again. This is Scorsese's ability to weave in music into the shots to make it like you can't imagine it without it. You know,
I sometimes wonder if I feel like having this in this movie adds to the song's mystique in the same way that you know the Rolling Stones song like Gimme Shelter does. I don't think I'd be nearly as aware of it if it wasn't for Scorsese. Or I don't think when I first saw this movie I knew what the song was, but this is part of one of the things sort of imprinted on me, like, oh, that's an important song, because Scorsese used it in a movie that I saw when I was, you know, 13.
Right. I think that's probably true for you, but I think it's
yeah.
So did you have that same feeling about Vito and the Salutations? When you were 13, you're like, wow, I want to know who's doing that.
I wasn't trying to learn how to play whatever it was they were doing there.
Unchained Melody.
Nope, I wasn't trying to learn that.
All right, well then.
I like the judgment on that. Like, I guess if you don't want to learn how to play Unchained Melody,
you do you, Josh.
So we go from – so it's really interesting. Go back to the movie.
The movie. Okay, yeah.
Set up things we can about Angry Smoke. I feel like I'm better off now.
This is what happens when a good majority of the minute is just one long shot.
23 seconds, two drags on a cigarette.
One-third of the minute.
One side-eye laugh at Tommy, and that's about it.
So we go from arguably the happiest and the last happy shot of Jimmy in the movie to Jimmy being back to paranoid, as Henry tells us.
Before we get to him being paranoid, we get a shot of Henry walking along the streets of Queens outside. And what is he doing? Rubbing his nose.
I feel like I missed that every time it happened.
Because you're so used to it with all your cocaine.
I love coke. Love it. It makes me feel good.
It's just like you can do anything.
Makes me feel
right?
Powerful.
What's funny is that you said the streets of Queens, and as soon as they cut to that shot, I was like, "That's Queens."
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's no mistaking.
I'd like to point out that beard and glasses guy is in the background of this shot too.
Yeah.
This guy's gonna vex me. I did some minor Google searching for him. Came up empty, but
yeah, no. Who I don't know.
Really
who
bothering me.
Yeah. Do a Google search. Well, I did a minor Google search.
It's a minor Google search.
Just why is he wearing sunglasses inside?
He's got an eye condition.
Oh, okay. He just
had Nicky Eyes. Did Nicky Eyes let his beard go?
Maybe Nicky Eyes grew a beard in the 70s.
Now, you guys you've built up the social channels for the show. Can't you take a screen grab, put it up there, and let the audience help you out? Maybe there's someone there with a little bit of knowledge, there's a connection.
No one who actually knows more than us is listening.
Well, let's keep in mind that we had the mystery mobster in the beginning of the movie was identified by the audience. Mm. So if you are listening, please go back to minute 103 and identify who the new mystery mobster
he's
is.
He's the one talking to Carbone.
Yeah, he's sitting next to Carbone in the shot. As the zoom shot is happening, he's laughing and he scratches his neck at some point.
He's been in a lot of the previous minutes. He was in the party in the background.
Hey, it's not Vincent Gallo.
It's not Vincent Gallo.
Okay. Because he seems to have been in a lot of the backgrounds.
Vincent Gallo looks, by the way, very clean cut in this movie.
He's probably 16.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so they go outside in Queens, and we get the first glimpse of Jimmy being paranoid, but we're going to find out more about that tomorrow.
Do you think that's immediately afterwards? Like, because
Yeah, same coat.
Yeah.
But you've got Jimmy who's looking, and he's so focused and so like the wheels are turning, he's so evil almost looking. No. And then he goes outside and it's like,
no, you're right. It's not immediately after, it's the next day Yeah. Probably, because then they go inside the club again and it's a different day.
And also, and Jimmy's wearing a different tie and suit. So yeah.
People tend to wear the same coat more than one day in a row. Yeah.
Listen, I had a freeze frame on the coat, but it's a different day because it leads into the next scene, which is clearly a different day.
Yeah, we'll talk about more. All right, so anything else in this minute?
Fuck count was zero,
okay.
But that's going to be it for the week. We're going to head to the stratosphere.
Ryan, anything else to add?
No, I'm good.
Where can people find you on the internet if they like your observations about the Beatles?
The Twitter and the Instagram. I'm Agent M. And
very simple, to the point. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for Minute 103. Tune in tomorrow for Minute 104 to find out what Jimmy and Henry talk about. Until then, you can follow us on Twitter at Goodfellas Minute, on Instagram and Facebook at Goodfellas Minute, and you can find all of our previous episodes and links to subscribe to the show over at goodfellasminute.com. You can also find how to support the show by going over to patreon.com/GFM, where you can sign up to support the show directly. If you sign up at the $10 or higher level, you get an awesome swag bag of Goodfellas Minute stickers and pins that were made especially for you. They fell off the back of a truck, and they're going to land right at your doorstep. And, of course, if you sign up on Patreon, you get your own mob name. And on Friday, we will be, for the select patrons who sign up at the right level, we'll be opening the books and giving them their mob name on Friday. So make sure to tune in for that. If you have any questions or any comments about Cream or Lenny Bruce, you can email us at contact@goodfellowsminute.com. Till next time, I think I'm going to take up smoking.
No one would blame you. I'm going to take up Coke.
I feel amazing.
Ryan, are you going to start wearing two coats?
Always two coats.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.